It was 42 years ago, this month, when the United States sent up the Apollo 13 rocket up into space to do one more walk on the moon. And when they left that morning in April, 42 years ago, what they didn't realize is that the mission was compromised. Because when they got up there into outer space, Joe Swigert was told by Mission Command that he had to stir the oxygen rings, and so he did. And when he did that, it caused a spark because some Teflon on some wires had come loose, and the current caused an explosion, and all of a sudden, everything fell apart. And the mission was to go on the moon, to land the lunar module, and to walk around the moon to come back home to Earth. But now the mission changed dramatically, and now the mission was simply to get these guys home. And thank goodness that these men were very, very capable men to do that. Because when Mission Control started looking at how they were going to get these men home, they realized it was not an easy thing. Because all of the things that they thought they would have to be able to bring these men home had been damaged. And as a matter of fact, what the mission plan was, that if the module got damaged, if there was a reason that they needed to come back without landing on the moon, what they were supposed to do is eject that module, the lunar module, and stay in the other module and start coming back to Earth. But the oxygen was gone. The life support system was gone. They needed that lunar module to keep the life support system going. And nobody had planned for this contingency. And so all of NASA gathered together, and they said, how in the world are we going to bring these men home? And everybody, the whole entire nation, was riveted on this scene that was happening miles up into the atmosphere as these men struggled for their life, as NASA tried to figure out how they were going to get these men home. There was a guy who was part of this. He was the mission command at NASA. He was played by Ed Harris in the movie. I don't know if you ever saw the movie. But his name was Gene Kranz. And Gene Kranz was the mission guy who was completely in charge of this, and he kept saying in that movie, I will not let this happen. These men will come home safe. But the question I have is, what would happen if Gene Kranz said, oh, time to go. Look at that. It's time to leave. I think I'm just going to go home now. No, he didn't do that. Because when the mission is critical, every hand is needed on deck, and you can't just leave in the middle of the mission. And I wonder if that's what Paul was thinking when, in our lesson from this morning, they had just finished this council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, and now the council of Jerusalem has authorized Paul to go preach Christianity to the Gentiles, and they're trying to figure out duties and who's going to go what, and Paul and Silas and Barnabas are there, but also Mark. And Paul says, Mark, you're not coming with us. Because the last time we went on a mission, you deserted us. We were there on that first mission. We were doing good things. And then for the reason that you know about, you left and you went back to Jerusalem. And you left us stranded there in the mission field. It's almost like this Apollo mission, and every hand is needed on deck because the mission is just as important to bring the gospel as it was to take the people up to the moon. And yet, in the middle of it, Mark left the mission. That must have been what Paul was thinking as he was doing that. Because Paul had known that Mark had left the mission, and he wasn't sure he would be dependable on the next mission. And so Paul said, I have to have every hand on deck. I've got to have Mark. Now, we do this as human beings. We say to ourselves that past performance indicates future behavior. Except in the stock market. But everywhere else, past performance indicates future behavior. And what you're seeing now, actually, in interviews, is people are going to a different kind of interview system. People who are associated with human resources know that for years and years and years, you'd go into an interview, and the person who's interviewing you is trying to figure out everything he can about you to see if you can do the job or not. I remember my first interview with Dairy Queen. The guy said to me, now, when a customer comes in, you're going to smile, right? And I looked at him, and of course, well, yeah. I mean, if that's what you want me to do. I mean, that wasn't an interview question at all. And yet so many times that's what interview questions are. They're like leading questions to lead you to the right answer. Well, people have found out that that doesn't work out at all. And so they ask hypothetical questions. Well, let's say that a customer comes into Dairy Queen and he doesn't have money to pay for it. What are you going to do? Well, so then you have to think on your feet and you're going to, okay, what does he want me to say? And that's what I'm going to say to make sure I get the job. So I said, I'm going to give him the ice cream. And I didn't get the job. No, I didn't say that. Because he didn't ask that question. I have no idea what I would do. I would suppose I'd say, you have no money, you're not going to get ice cream. But that even that doesn't work because those questions are just talking about these hypothetical situations. And so now what happens in the interview field, if you've had an interview in the last 5 years, I'm sure this is what it is. It's called behavioral interview. And in a behavioral interview, what they do is they come up to you and they say, think back in your past. Have you ever had a time when the boss got angry at you because you disagreed on what to do and how did you handle that situation? And so you have to think back to a time that you and the boss got angry and how you handled that situation. And in so doing that, as you relive that story, you start to share with the interviewer a little bit about yourself and how you deal in different crises, how you deal in different situations. Because past performance is a pretty good indicator of future things. And see, this is what Paul knew. He knew that past performance, Mark didn't work the last time, he won't work the next time, I'm not taking him along. But there's a little bit of a problem with behavioral interviewing. First of all, if you did have a situation that didn't go well with a previous boss, there is a chance, just saying, that you might have learned from that experience. You might have gone away from that experience with a lot of knowledge about how to handle that in the future. As a matter of fact, it may have been that experience that completely changed your life of how to do that. We call that the school of hard knocks. And sometimes past performance is not the best indicator of what the future behavior is going to be. You know, the circumstances might change. In the previous time where this happened, you may have been going through different things that caused you to react a different way. You might react in a totally different way in the future. I go to mission planning meetings and we talk about, well, would we as mission planners be successful in a future mission plant? And I say to them, I don't know. I don't think there's any way that you could take a look at one mission plant and that situation and talk about how a future one's going to happen. Because everything's going to change. The community's going to change. The people are going to change. How in the world can you predict a past performance and a future behavior when everything changes? And yet Paul, looking at Mark, says, I'm not taking Mark with me because the last time I took him with me, he failed. And when he failed, it caused the mission to be at risk, and I will not have that again because Jesus gave us a mission, and the mission is this. We're going to go preach the good news, and everything is focused around that, and he left. It's like he was in a lunar module, and he just left, except Paul wouldn't have known about lunar modules back then. But you understand what I'm saying. How many of us in our lives have been judged a future performance based upon something that we did in the past? How many times in a relationship has somebody said to us, I don't trust that you're going to do it right the next time because you didn't do it right the last time. How many of you people have a job and the people who are over you in that job says, I'm not going to give you this type of job again because you didn't perform last time? Or how many of you are in a relationship and they say, I'm not going to trust you again in this with this situation because you didn't do it right the last time? And how many people in our lives do a behavioral interview analysis of us before we do anything because they are absolutely certain that everything that we did in the past is going to happen again in the future and there's no grace? Well, Paul appeared to be that kind of guy because when he got together with Mark and Silas and Barnabas, he said, I don't want Mark to go. But Barnabas said, you know what? I'm going to take Mark with me because Mark may not have done it right the last time, but I think he's grown, and I think that he'll do better next time, and so I'm not going to go with you, Paul. I'm going to take Mark, and Barnabas and Mark went off in a totally different direction. They went to Cyprus. And Paul and Silas went totally somewhere in a different direction. Now, what does that tell us? Well, there's a couple things that we can learn from this. First of all, is that the mission is more important than the personalities involved. Think about it. If everybody had to get along in the mission, then maybe they would have never got forward from step one. But it wasn't about the personalities. It was about the mission that Jesus Christ had laid out for them. You are to go, and you're supposed to spread my good news. You're supposed to make disciples. And because everybody knew what the mission was, everybody was able to move towards that mission, even when there were personality differences within that group. And I think about our congregation. You know, we're in the middle of updating our strategic plan. And we have a mission. We have a mission which is tagged on to the mission that Jesus Christ gave the church 2,000 years ago. You were supposed to go and make disciples. And that is still our mission today. And if we make it about ourselves, we will never pass that mission. We will never accomplish that mission. But if we make the mission about what God has called us to do, then we can all move towards that mission, even if we don't necessarily get along together. I think that's a cool thing. But the other thing that's shown in here is Barnabas. Barnabas believed in Mark. Even when Paul didn't. Now think about that. Paul was probably the number one guy in the church back at that point, and Barnabas bucked Paul, and he went with Mark. And he said, I'm not going to go with you, Paul. I'm going to go with Mark. Think about that. What an incredible blessing it was in Mark's life that somebody didn't look at his past and say, you know, you didn't do it last time right. You're not going to do it this time right. I'm going to get rid of you. But Barnabas, on the flip side, said, I'm going to walk along beside you. We're going to go through this together. We know what the mission is. We're not going to go that way. We're going to go our own way because I believe in you. I think about our church with the care that we're doing, the Stephen ministry and the raising up leadership. And all of that is designed to be able to bring people from within the congregation and to say, we're walking along beside you. You're not in this alone. And that's one of the great things about Stephen ministry. You're not in it alone. But there's one other thing, probably the most important thing about this, is that all of us have baggage existing in our life from something that we did. And God is not necessarily God of second chances. He has a mission, and if we don't do that mission, then we have failed him. And rightfully, he has the same response. He's legally, rightfully allowed to make the same response that Paul did to Mark, which is, get out of here. I don't want you in the mission. But see, Jesus Christ walked on this earth, and he fulfilled his mission perfectly. And because Jesus fulfilled his mission, we stand before God, and he walks beside us, and he says, I know that you may have failed in the past, but you are here now, and you can do my mission. I believe in you. I believe in the work that you can do. Jesus Christ redeemed us so that we can do the mission that God has called us to do. I think about a young girl who once was in school, and they were talking about forgiveness, and the teacher said, give me a definition of forgiveness. And the girl said, well, it's like meeting somebody for the first time. And the teacher said, what in the world are you talking about? She said, well, when God forgives your sin, you leave all that in the past. And so forgiveness is like coming before God fresh and clean and new as if he never knew what the past was. And that's what forgiveness is. See, when Jesus Christ redeems us, every morning is like that. God doesn't look at our past to say what you failed at, what you didn't work at. God looks at us as a member of his kingdom, ready to do his work, and he's willing to partner with us to do it every day, no matter how much we mess up from the previous time. That's a great thing. The lunar module finally did make it back to Earth, and the Apollo 13 astronauts made it home. It was a great thing. They all clapped. Tom Hanks, at the end of the movie, got to, you know, be with his family. It was a wonderful thing. Well, Jesus Christ accomplished his mission. And his mission was to bring us closer to him. And he accomplished that mission. And he doesn't look at our past. He looks at our future. In Jesus' name, amen.